But if you can remember back 2 weeks ago, we started a new series called Big Questions about God, the Bible, and life. And I have an issue. My issue is, like the first question was, is God responsible for tragedies? And, you know, tell you the truth, the first part could have been enough. But you know me, I can't go with just a little bit. I want you guys to be trained. I want you to be taught. I want you to be equipped. I want you to know what the Bible says. So we're going to continue in this, and hopefully, we'll see. I might not get done with it today. But in 1 Peter 3:15, it says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of hope that is in you with meekness and fear." So the thing of it is these questions that we are answering, you have to use wisdom. You have to have a heart of meekness. That means humility. Because what you're going to find out with a lot of these answers is we're the reason things happen. Right? And as a pastor and as ministers, which you guys are in everyday life with people, a lot of times you can't say, well, it happened because of you. They just can't accept that, right? Now, God can, through the Holy Spirit, can bring a revelation of that, which is always good, but it doesn't work too good when you're ministering to someone that's going through a tragedy and say, well, you big dummy, it happened because of this, this, and this, and you did it all. But we have to have answers, and having answers will equip us to be able to give a reason, and a reason for why we have hope, right? The Passion version of that scripture of 1 Peter 3:15 says, "But give reverent honor in your hearts to the anointed one and treat him as a holy master of your life." So in other words, we as believers put Jesus before everything else in our life. And if anyone asks about the hope living within you, always be ready to explain your faith. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your wisdom. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that is the teacher that leads us and guides us into all truth. Holy Spirit, we just ask that you give us revelation this morning of what the Word of God says. That God is for us. He's not against us. He's not even against humanity. He's 100% for humanity. And he desires none to perish, but all to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And we receive your blessing. We receive your instruction and your wisdom this morning. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. So we are in part two of, in the series of big questions, is God responsible for tragedies? And when tragedies happen in life, you see it. People go on CNN. They go on Fox News. They go on whatever news channel out there. They get a Christian or a pastor on there, a public figure in the Christian community, and ask them, why did this happen? Why did so-and-so die? Why did this tragedy happen at the school shooting? Why did this tsunami come in and destroy? Is God mad at us? And most of the time, God gets the blame for all the tragedies that happen on this planet. And what we usually hear is the cliche type answers. You know, like, God's ways are higher than our ways. And you never really know. God's mysterious. You never know what God is about. We just don't understand everything about God. But we can be assured of one thing. We know that God's in control and God knows best. And we talked about this a couple weeks ago on what answer would you give? If someone asks you why 9/11 happened, or why this hurricane happened, or why this tragedy happened in someone's life, are we prepared to give answers for it? How many people have heard, why did God do this? And what answer are we prepared to give? And that's what we're trying to give us in this series. We're trying to give answers to these tough questions. So recap from 2 weeks ago, on is God responsible for tragedies is that we've seen that God made the earth, and the earth was what? Very good. Very good, guys. Very good. No, very good. God made man, male and female, he made them, and he put them in the earth. And when he made humanity, he made male and female, put them in the earth, God gave him identity, right? Man's humanity, male and female, got their identity from God. God gave them his authority. God gave him his blessing. And God gave him a purpose, right? Right there answers a lot of people's problems with life. They don't have an identity. They're making up their own identity. They have no purpose. They're walking under a curse, right? And that no authority to overcome the God of this world, which we'll talk about later. God crowned man with glory and majesty, the Bible says. We've seen that in Psalms, right? God gave earth to the sons of men, and man had dominion of the earth. All good. It's all good. The earth was very good. Man had identity, purpose, authority, blessing. What else? What? Authority, purpose, blessing, identity, and purpose. That's it. He had all that, and he was put in this perfect world to have dominion, to rule, to be an underlord to God Almighty on this earth. But then the fall happened. Sin resulted in an instantaneous change in this earth. Glory was lost. Fear replaced with love. Or fear replaced love. Law replaced faith. Relationship was lost. Identity was lost. Blessing was lost. Purpose was no longer God's purpose, but fallen man now was deciding what their purpose was in the earth. They were deciding for themselves what is good and what is evil. We started looking at the consequences of sin in the world, and first we see that man became spiritually separated from God. He was made like God, but then he severed himself, he aborted himself from his life source, and became separate from God. And that separation caused man to run from God. Right? God didn't run from man. Man ran from God. And so what did God do? Did he say, oh, you're sinful, I can't come around you no more? No, he came looking for God, for man. He said, where are you, Adam? Oh, we hid ourselves because we were afraid. See, this disconnect, this fear, this sin caused us to be afraid from God. So we got man. We got man in this world that has fallen, has separated himself from God, that he has a sinful nature. He is now ruled, no longer by the Spirit. He's ruled by his flesh and the carnal nature. And he still has the ability to choose. He still has the ability to choose. This isn't going to end well. It's going to end like we've seen. So this sin, what you're going to see as we answer this question, that sin is horrible. That we, without the church, I know we're called to have a revelation of the righteousness of God by faith in Christ Jesus. That we need a revelation of our righteousness. But I hope that we get a revelation of sin in this teaching, because it is destructive. It is horrible. Every single thing that has brought heartache to humanity and destruction upon this earth is because of sin. Another consequence of sin, not just being a fallen man in a fallen nature with the ability to choose, right? How many of you, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but how many of you have affected somebody else negatively by sin? I don't think we all could raise our hand there. Our flesh, our carnal, our self-centeredness, our sin has affected other people negatively in the earth. Now we're going to step into another reason why tragedies happen. And it's still because the consequence of sin in the world. And that is the instability of the earth. Instability of the earth. Do you know that this earth is not the earth God created? See, we got to think a little bit. This right here is going to give a lot of answers to a lot of things. This earth that we are living on right now is not the earth that God created. Genesis 1:31, it says, God saw all that he made, and behold, it was very, very good. This is not that earth that he said was very, very good. Do you know that? In Genesis chapter 1, verse 6, it says, then God said, let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters. God made the expanse and separated the waters which were below the expanse from the waters which were above the expanse. A lot of expansion going on. And it was so. God called the expanse heaven, and there was evening and morning a second day. When the earth was created, there was one continent. I don't know if you guys know that or not. But even secular or worldly science will tell you that the earth at one time was all continent. Continent divide and all of that. I believe it didn't happen over billions of years. It happened in a short period of time. But anyways, when it was created, it was one continent, one landmass. And it rested under a system of water. There was a system of water that was underneath the continent. And there was the heavens, or the sky, that was enveloped with a canopy of water. There was a canopy of water that, in like a bubble around the earth. How we have the ozone layer now, the atmosphere, that used to be a sphere of water that went around the earth. And above this canopy with water, and this canopy of water protected the earth from those harmful UV rays that we experience today. It created a greenhouse. It created a greenhouse on the planet, and it kept everything at just a nice normal temperature. Let's just pick a temperature, 75 degrees. It was always 75 degrees. There was no North Pole. There's no polar caps. Everything was temperate. There was no seasons. There was no seasons. Everything was kept. You could plant, you could harvest anytime. We're going to see all this in just a second here. And it kept this earth in a moderate temperature, and there was no seasons. It was perfect, and it was in a perfect climate all the time. This is what God saw when he said it was very good. This is what God was talking about when it was very good. There were no earthquakes, there were no tornadoes, there was no droughts, there were no tsunamis, there was not even a rainy day. You never had a rainy day. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 6, it says, now no shrub of the field was yet on the earth, and no plant of the field had yet sprouted, for the Lord God had not sent rain upon the earth, and there was no man to cultivate the ground. But a mist used to rise from the earth, and water the whole surface of the ground. In this perfect earth, water came from beneath the earth because of this canopy. There wasn't the atmosphere that we have today. There wasn't evaporation and rain clouds and all of that. Water, the Bible teaches that water came up from underneath the earth and watered the ground. Have you ever seen those soaker hoses that you put underneath all your mulch and everything, and you don't have rain, you don't have sprinklers coming down on your garden, but it's coming up from underneath? That's how the earth was originally created. Have you ever thought about it? It just boggles my mind that when God said, I put my bow in the sky, my rainbow, as a sign to you that I'll never destroy the earth again with a flood, right? That Christians don't say, well, wasn't there always a rainbow? There hadn't been a... No, it never rained. How do you get a rainbow? From rain. It never rained on the earth until after the flood. Verse 5. Then the Lord saw the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of his thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. The Lord was sorry that he had ever made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. The Lord said, I will blot man out of whom I created from the face of the earth, or face of the land. That just, reading that, think about that, that it repented God, and it grieved God. Humanity grieved God. He was sorry. And he says, the Lord said, I will blot man out man whom I created from the face of the land, from man to animals to creeping things and to birds of the sky, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He was a righteous man by faith, not by works. He had faith in God, and God graced Noah. God is about to make a drastic change in the earth. See, man looks at this whole thing as judgment. Man looks at the flood as judgment from God. It wasn't judgment from God. It was mercy. It was the mercy of God. He couldn't allow man to continue on the course that he was on. One reason is that he would have never had a lineage for Jesus to come through. If you look at Genesis chapter 6, verse 2, it says, the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves, whoever they chose. It actually talks about these angels intermarrying with the sons of man. It was an attempt to snuff out the seed of the woman, the prophecy from Genesis of whom would come and crush the serpent's head. Man was continually evil in wickedness. It was happening in the earth, and God was grieved that he ever made man, but Noah found grace. Noah found grace. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 11, it says, now the earth was corrupt in the sight of God, and the earth was filled with violence. God looked on the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way upon the earth. Then God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come up before me, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. And behold, I am about to destroy them with the earth. He's about to destroy humanity, he's about to destroy animals, and he's about to destroy the earth. The earth we are living in now is not the earth that God originally created. We are living on the remains. We are living on the remains. The flood destroyed the earth that God originally created. In Genesis chapter 7, verse 11, it says, in the 600th year of Noah's life. See, there's another reason. Another reason. Why did people live so long until the flood? The lifespan of man drastically started going down after the flood. It's because you were no longer under that protection of that canopy that covered the whole earth. That's why plants were bigger. That's why animals were bigger. That's why certain animals were able to live that can no longer live under this new chaotic earth that has seasons and cold and winter and all of that. It was totally changed. I mean, they have found huge plants in the ice in Antarctica. How'd those plants get up there? Because it wasn't always frozen. So it says here, on the same day, okay, it says, in the second month of the seventh day of the month, on the same day, all the fountains of the great deep bursted open, and the floodgates of the sky were open. The rain fell upon the earth for 40 days and 40 nights. This was just not rain as the way that we think of rain. This was a catastrophic event that happened in the earth. The fountains of the deep, all this water that was underneath the earth, all this water that was underneath the earth that the land rested upon, it shot up as geysers into the air. And it shot up hundreds of feet, hundreds of miles in the air, hit that canopy above, and then brought down that whole canopy upon the earth. This was catastrophic. This was destruction. This wasn't just a thunderstorm. This, The Lord says he was destroying humanity and the earth, but Noah found grace. So we wonder why our kids don't have answers when they go to school and they are taught the God of, see, I don't even know his name, Darwin. When we have all the answers right here in the Bible. It says that the heavens broke that canopy, and so you have water shooting from underneath, from the fountains of the deep. You know, you can watch National Geographic. They go down in the ocean, miles down in the ocean, and they still go down there and find these fountains of the deep with gushing hot water coming out in the oceans. So you got water shooting from the ground, huge geysers just shooting in the air. All of a sudden, you got water just coming down as a sheet. It wasn't just rain. It was just wiping out everything. You got mountains coming up from those geysers. You got continents shifting and moving. You got things happening, earthquakes. In Genesis 7:24, it says that the water prevailed upon the earth 150 days. The water was on the earth for 150 days, destroying, shaping, remodeling. Canyons are being made. All these things are happening. Animals are getting caught. Dinosaurs are getting caught in whirlpools and placed in what we call dinosaur graveyards with still food in their mouth. Right? Water was changing, destroying, creating a new earth. Mountains were formed, canyons were created, animals were covering the earth. The earth had that God had made for humanity was gone because of sin. In Genesis chapter 8, verse 22, it says, "While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, and cool and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease." This is what God told Noah after he stepped off the ark. Why would God tell Noah that? Why would God tell him that, you know, Noah, there's a seed time now, and there's a harvest time, and there's going to be cold now, and there's going to be heat, and there's going to be a summertime, and there's going to be a wintertime, and day and night shall not cease. See, after this, there's some people that describe the earth that then there was that. Have you ever taken like a milk jug and filled it with water and then took a flashlight and plugged, shine it into it, how it kind of glows and it expands the light? They were saying that night was not the night that we know today because it was enveloped with that water. So you still had the sun hitting it, even though it turned from the sun, that water was like a nightlight and gave a glow to the earth but now we don't have that around there, so now you have day and night. So Noah steps out of the ark and says, whoa, this isn't like it used to be. Things have changed. What is that wind that's coming across my face? Things have drastically changed. Now you have weather patterns. Now you have UV rays. Noah gets a sunburn. Didn't used to have that. Sun, and it's penetrating the earth, and it's causing, the UV rays are causing bacteria and things, destructive things in earth to start growing. Earthquakes, tornadoes, thunderstorms, hurricanes. There's a bow in the sky now. A rainbow. This is the earth that we have. This is the earth we live on. This is not suffering from the judgment of God, but it's suffering from the impact of sin on the earth. Look at Genesis 10. There's something very interesting I want to point out here to you. In Genesis 10, this is a genealogy just after Noah. In a genealogy after Noah, verse 25 of Genesis 10, it says, two sons were born to Eber. The name of the one was Peleg, for in his days the earth was divided. In his days the earth was divided. Do you know what Peleg means if you look it up in the Strong's Concordance? In the Strong's Concordance, Peleg means earthquake. Why would you name your kid Earthquake? The Young's literal translation puts it this way, and to Eber have two sons been born. The name of one is Peleg, for in his days had the earth been divided. In his days, that's when you had a dramatic shift in the continents, and people groups were spread all over the earth. And that's why you have different people groups all over, because it happened not instantaneously, but like over a short period of time. Because you ever wonder that? Why isn't there more mixed races on the continents? Why are they so specific if it evolved over millions and billions of years? But humanity willfully chooses not to remember this truth. And we make up our own origins of how the earth became to be. 2 Peter describes this very well. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 5, it says, "For this they willfully forget, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, by which the word that then existed, the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water." That earth, that pre-existing earth, that God said was good, the one that stood in the water and above the water, that perished. That was done away with. The world that God intended for man to live in perished. And can you only imagine what it must have looked like? See, we think things are beautiful now. We go to the Grand Canyon, we go to the mountains, we go to these things, and this is the remnants. This is the remnants of God's perfect world. We haven't even seen what God's perfect world actually was meant to be. No decay, no destruction, nothing but perfection. The beauty and the perfection that awaits us. For the word of God says that there will be a new heavens and a new earth. This is how powerful sin is. This is how powerful sin. If people understood the destructive nature of sin, they wouldn't sin anymore. They would find a way to stop sin. And there is a way. His name's Jesus. So after you understand all this, after you look at this, after you talk about this, see, the reason why our kids don't have a leg to stand on in school or in college, and it's because we don't teach this stuff. We don't teach what the Bible says. And there's probably a lot of people that's having a hard time with what the Bible says because you've never been taught it. Sitting right in here today. But I believe what the Bible says because it's always ended up proving itself over and over and over again. But with this understanding, now we can understand Romans chapter 8 a lot better. In Romans chapter 8, it says verse 20 and 22, "For the creation was subject to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subject in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pains until now." This earth that we are living in, this is the earth that we are living in. It's groaning, it's travailing, it's waiting to be delivered from the bondage of sin as the children of God are. That's that new creation, that new world, the new heavens and the new earth that God is going to bring about. But we still live in this fallen world. We still live in this world that is under the bondage of sin. So why do tragedies happen? Why did tragedy happen? First, we have man that has fallen, but he has a free will, and he's seeking after the flesh, and every action has a consequence, right? So you have sinful man that has free will, that's being controlled by his flesh, and every choice he makes has a consequence. We still have Christians that have free will that allow themselves to be controlled by the flesh, and you reap the consequence thereof. Second, we live on a planet that has been corrupted by sin that is completely unstable. Thirdly, we have a new God of this world. The dominion of the world was altered. In Luke chapter 4, verse 5, it says, "Then the devil, taking him," speaking of Jesus, "up to a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time." I don't know how he did that, but he was able to do that. "And the devil said to him, 'All authority I will give to you and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours.'" You ever notice that Jesus says, "You're a liar"? That's not true. That would have ended the whole argument right there, wouldn't it? That ended all the temptation. But Jesus didn't say that. He didn't say that it was a lie. See, God gave dominion to man. Remember, God gave dominion to man, and he was the under ruler of God. But man chose to disconnect himself to God and is now under Satan, the new God of this world. As the theologian Bobby Dylan said, "You're going to have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're going to have to serve somebody. You're either in the kingdom of darkness, or you're in the kingdom of light. There's two kingdoms." In 2 Corinthians chapter 4:4, it says, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, so that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God." The unbelieving, they choose not to believe. They have free choice not to believe. And the God of this world is blinding unbelievers so that they don't see the glory of God in Christ Jesus. The unbelieving. Many Christians believe. Many Christians believe. But they believe about being saved and going to heaven. But they still choose to be blinded in their minds through unbelief in other areas of their life containing the full gospel of Jesus Christ. See, this guy, this world can still have inroads into your life by being unbelieving. Even after you're born again, you can choose to participate with the kingdom of darkness and allow Satan to have inroads in your life. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 19, and I will start hurrying, "We know that we are of God, and that the whole world lies in the power of the evil one." So not only do we have man that has fallen, has a free will, is controlled by the flesh in an unstable earth, but we also have them being under the control of the evil one. This is post-cross. This is after the cross. This isn't before the cross. Believers are of God, but the world lies in the power of the kingdom of darkness. That's why the church needs to shine. That's why the church needs to come forth. In John chapter 12, verse 31, "Now judgment is upon this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out." So Satan has been cast out, Jesus said. That the judgment of this world has come, and the ruler of this world is about to be cast out. And the question is cast out from where? What was Jesus talking about here? We have seen that post-cross that he is still called the God of this world. If Satan's still the God of this world, but Jesus says he's about to be cast out, what does this all this mean? That he has power in the earth, we still see. Where's he cast out from? Let's look at Revelations. First of all, in Revelation chapter 1, verse 19, it says, write these things which I have seen, and the things which are, and the things which will take place after this. Here's just some insight. I threw this in here just so you have some insight about the book of Revelations. It contains three things. It contains things that are past tense. It contains things that are present tense. And it contains things that are future tense. And we have to understand, rightly divide the word of God, which one's which. So with this in mind, look at Revelation chapter 12. In Revelation chapter 12, verse 7, it says, and there was war in heaven, Michael and his angels waging war with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels waging war. And they were not strong enough, thank God. And there was no longer a place found for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, the serpent of old, who was called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. Verse 10, then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of the brethren has been thrown down, he who accuses them before God day and night. So when did this happen? Well, if you take the words that Jesus spoke with these words, I believe it happened when Jesus rose from the grave. When Jesus rose from the dead grave, he ascended on high. It says in Hebrews that he purged with his own blood the temple of God, the mercy seat of God, with his own blood. Jesus rose from the grave, taking his place at the right hand of God, his place as humanity's legal representative. Satan was an illegal representative of humanity. Remember the book of Job? Remember the book of Job where Satan went up with the sons of God and he accused Job? How did Satan get up there? Why would God even let him up there? Because I believe that Adam was supposed to be the representative of humanity. But it wasn't really Adam at all, because God knew that we'd fall. Guess who was the one that was always supposed to be there? Jesus. We no longer have an accuser of the brethren. We no longer have an accuser of the brethren. We have the intercessor for the brethren. That is so awesome. But Satan was thrown down. Down to where? To the earth. He's like a roaring lion, seeking who he can devour. Which animals do lions devour? The weak and the dumb. Right? The weak and the dumb get devoured. What Christians does Satan devour? I'll just let you decide that in your mind. We don't want to be a weak Christian. We want to be strong in Christ Jesus. We don't want to be a dumb Christian. We want to have the revelation and be a doer of the word, not a hearer only. There's a big difference. There's a lot of people that can quote you scriptures. There's very few that are doing it. Under the power of sin, the God of this world, under the power of sin and through the God of this world, humanity is now slaves to fear, and they're powerless in their fallen nature to save themselves, to redeem themselves, to rescue themselves. Man, you guys act like you weren't expecting to get taught today. This is good stuff. Because this is what people want to know. How can God be a loving God and do all this terrible stuff in the earth? Well, anyways, you guys distracted me. So you have fallen man with a fallen nature controlled by his flesh, which is controlled in a world that's completely unstable, with a God of this world that's out for humanity's destruction. We're living in a world that God never intended. This is why God became a man, to bring salvation by his mighty right hand, to do for humanity what humanity could never do for itself, that we were powerless to do for ourselves. In John chapter 14, verse 30, it says, I will not speak much more to you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. Thank God he could find nothing in Jesus, nothing to get his hooks in. Satan never had anything in Jesus. But still notice that Satan is called the God of the, or the ruler of this world. In John 10:10, it says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. Satan is out to rob. Satan is out to kill. He's out to destroy. But Jesus came to give us abundant life. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, it says, and you were dead in your trespasses and sin, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now, present tense, working in the sons of disobedience. Satan is still the prince of the power of the air. Among them, we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. We have men with fallen free will who gives themselves over to a ruler whose only purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. And we ask, why do tragedies happen? Verse 4. But God, hallelujah, I love when God gets his butt in the way. But God, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Look at what Colossians says. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthening with all power according to his glorious might for the attaining of the steadfastness and patience, joyously, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints of light. For he rescued us from the dominion of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins. As a believer, you have been translated. You're no longer in the kingdom of darkness, but you are in the kingdom of Jesus Christ, the kingdom of sons. We are no longer under the control of the wicked one. We are no longer under the control of the evil one. He is not our ruler. He is not our prince. We have a king. We don't have to worry about the prince of the power of the air anymore because we have a king. We have been redeemed. We have been transferred into God's glorious kingdom. So why did Jesus come? Why did Jesus come? Did he come just to save us so we go to heaven one day? And do we have any responsibilities in this new place, this new kingdom that we find ourselves in? In Acts chapter 10, verse 38, it says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. For God was with him. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. The one who practiced sin is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. The Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. Why did Jesus appear? Why did Jesus come? to destroy the works of the devil. If this is what Jesus appeared to do, if this was Jesus' purpose, this gives us purpose. This gives us meaning, and it gives us new purpose and meaning to John chapter 14, verse 12, where Jesus says, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, and even greater works than these will he do, because I go to my Father." So we're supposed to be doing greater works than Jesus did. What was the works that Jesus came to do? Destroy the works of the devil. What's the work of every Christian on the face of the earth? Destroy the works of the devil. Our purpose is to do the works of Christ, which is to destroy the works of the devil in this world. Jesus is not coming back for a sick, defeated church. That's so many Christians are just grabbing the back of the seat pew, just holding on, waiting for Jesus to come back. And that's not what Jesus said. He's not coming back for a defeated church. He's not coming for some sick, wimpy church. He's coming back, and he's going to come back, but he's waiting. Do you know what he's waiting for? The Word of God says he's waiting for his enemies to be made his footstool. You want Jesus to come back? Destroy the works of the devil. You want Jesus to come back and make all things new? Preach the kingdom of heaven. Preach the kingdom of God. Expand his borders. Be influencers in all the spheres that you are connected into. Transform. Live out the gospel. Call heaven to earth. Jesus told us to pray that way. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. See, we like an eschatology, a study, understanding of the end times that makes us not responsible for anything. When Jesus gave us his name, he gave us his authority, he gave us the Holy Spirit, he gave us the Word of God, he gave us all these things to destroy the works of the devil. So what's the answer? What's the answer for being an overcomer in the storms of life? When tragedies come beating on your door, what's the answer that we can give people? See, no matter if it's from fallen man that is ruled by the flesh, or calamity that is caused by a world that is under the curse of sin, or if it comes straight from an attack from the pit of hell and the devil himself, we have answers. And it's so simple. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, it says, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who has built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and then it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock." He had a house built on the rock. What's the rock? Don't answer it, unless you really know. Let's read it again. "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock." What's the rock? The rock is doing the word of God. The rock that our house is built on is a life that is doing the word of God. "I will liken him to a man who builds his house on the rock." Verse 26, "But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house, and it fell, and great was its fall." What is the sand? What is building? The sand is not doing the word of God. So what's the rock? The rock is doing the word of God. What's the sand? The sand is not doing the word of God. So why do tragedies happen? And who's responsible? Tragedies happen because man in a fallen state is in a fallen state in a fallen world who is nothing like God created him to be. He has no identity. He has no purpose. He's out from the blessing of God. He has no authority. But he has free choice. And he also has a ruler, Satan, who is the god of this fallen kingdom ruling over him. That has come to what? To rob, to kill, to destroy. But Jesus rescued us from the kingdom of Satan and has delivered us into the kingdom of God, giving those who believe a new spirit, making them a new creation, and reconnecting them once again with God, giving us purpose, giving us authority, giving us identity, giving us his blessing. We are not victims. We are victors. We are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Greater is he who lives in you than he that lives in this world. It's time we start believing this. We have been given the name of Jesus. We've been given the authority of Christ. We have been endowed with the power of God through the Holy Spirit. Are you enforcing the blessing over your children? Are you? Are you taking authority? Are you using the kingdom warfare? Are you doers of the word over your children? Are you praying for them? Are you enforcing God's promises over your provision and prosperity? We just went through. See, you guys think that we just preached that message on finances just because we need to talk about money. No, it's about destroying the works of the devil. Poverty is a curse. And people need to understand biblical principles and understanding God's way of doing things. Not just so you can be blessed, but so you can be a blessing. How about your health, your body? I mean, most Christians, they don't even think about God and his will for health and healing in your body until you get sick. Are you a doer of the word? Every morning, getting up, saying, I am the healed of the Lord. By his stripes, I am healed. I am filled with the Holy Spirit. From the crown of my head to the soles of my feet, I am redeemed. Are we doers of the word? How about our mind? Do you just let fear, anxiety, stress, crazy thoughts just come into your mind? Or do you use the word of God? I'm redeemed. I'm the beloved. My God loves me. I have a sound mind. I have the mind of Christ. I have not been given a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. Are you a doer of the word? Our emotions, so many people, we live in a society that has no common sense, that are totally controlled by their emotions. And you know what's terrible about being controlled by your emotions? Because your emotion today will not be the same tomorrow. If you got a wife and three girls at home, their emotions that minute aren't the same 5 minutes from then. They'd probably say the same about me. But our emotions change. That's why we have to have the Bible to stand upon. We have to have the truths of the Bible to stand upon because they never change. We might change. One day you might feel like, God loves me. He loves me so much. And then the next day, man, how can God love me? I'm no good. I'm just an old worm in the ground. Did God change? Did he stop loving you? No, you changed. Thank God we got the Bible that says that he does not change. And he will never stop loving you. We having fun this morning? How about our neighborhoods? Are we praying for our neighborhoods? That's one thing that in prayer down in the morning, on Sunday mornings, we need to start praying for our communities, that the kingdom of God, that the kingdom of God would expand in this community, that the blinders of unbelievers, that they would be removed from their eyes, that we would take our authority over the captives, that they'd be set free, that they would see the glorious light of our Jesus Christ. But you can do that in your home. You can do that in your car. And for some of you that pray in the Spirit, you're probably doing it already and you don't even know it. He's got to get it done somehow. Our neighborhoods, our communities, our cities. We are the agent of change. We are the catalyst in Vassar and for the surrounding areas that when it's mixed with faith and the grace of God causes an explosion of the goodness of God and the glory of God to be manifest. Are you actively participating? Are you actively pushing back darkness? Are you just bouncing around life like a ball in a pinball machine? Just wishing and hoping that everything's going to work out. So really, when it comes down to it, why do tragedies happen? Even the church is somewhat responsible for why tragedies happen. We have man in a fallen nature, ruled by his flesh, with free will, living in an unstable earth that is not how God ever created it to be, with a God of this world, with a ruler of this world, called Satan, that is called to come to rob, kill, and destroy, and a church that's going to rise up and push back the kingdom of darkness and do the works of Jesus and even greater works because he has went to the Father. Amen? Amen. Amen. All right, we went long today, but we got her done. Next week, we're going to look at judgment. Is God judging the world? I love all these. I don't pick easy ones. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for the word of God that gives us truth. It gives us revelation. It gives us understanding. It makes us wiser than our teachers. That's what your word says. And we thank you. We thank you that you loved us despite knowing what we'd turn out like. And you had a plan that was predestined. You had a predestined one. The predestined one was Jesus. He was predestined to come and clean up our mess. And we thank you that he has come. He has cleaned up our mess. And that we are righteous and holy in him. And Heavenly Father, we thank you for this great opportunity. We have an opportunity as the Church of Jesus Christ to do something that we'll never be able to do after there is a new heaven and a new earth. And that is in the midst of chaos, in the midst of heartache, in the midst of tragedy, in the midst of sin and calamity and just waves after waves of tears and brokenness. We have an opportunity to manifest your glory. We have an opportunity to declare the goodness of God. We have an opportunity to give the world in stark contrast the two kingdoms that are currently at war in this earth. And Heavenly Father, we can be fearless because we've read the end of the book and we win. Satan wasn't powerful enough to stay in heaven. He's been cast down, and he's not going to be powerful enough to claim this earth. Because the church is going to make your enemy, who is our enemy, your footstool. We thank you, we praise you, and we worship you. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to a message from Charis New Testament Church. For more information or to contact us, go to www.charisntc.org. And remember, you are deeply loved, highly favored, and destined to reign in Christ Jesus.